I want to make some finish up the points that we're in the midst of looking at. So let's get right into our study so I can finish this one section this week and have these two tapes go together last week and tonight. So let's begin with a word of prayer, orienting ourselves to why we're here and in our study. So let's begin with, No, I need it to come back. And just be sure you're getting it on the tape. Okay. So we are looking at, where it's Wednesday night. What is today? The 15th. And studying stress, anxiety, and depression. So let's begin with a word of prayer that the Spirit can open our eyes to the things we want to look at tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are that you are a God that is compassionate and loving, and that you have provided, Heavenly Father, not only eternal peace, but you have actually even provided peace in our life, peace from stress, anxiety, and depression, if we'll just trust you. So many Christians today suffer, Heavenly Father. They think that stress and depression are normal. I pray that your Spirit will open our eyes that we can see what is normal for the Christian who lives in the Spirit-filled life. To this end, Father, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we have taken up three introductory points to what I want to do tonight, so let me review those and get right into the fourth one, as I do want to finish this section tonight. First of all, we noted that every Christian continues to have a nature of insecurity. Every Christian continues to have a nature of insecurity. And this is very important for so many reasons of why people experience stress, anxiety, and depression. And that nature, our nature of our first birth, it is an insecure nature. And being an insecure nature, this is our old flesh nature, the old man. We've studied so many different things. We've studied the big five things about it. Therefore, there is a great inner natural need to be in control. Because this insecure nature, the more that it can control, the more that it move on to point two in this study. Something we learned from Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks. Now the point of point two is this: thoughts precede stress, anxiety, and depression. And this is so important. Thoughts precede, writing it on the board, those of you on tapes, thoughts precede and depression. So therefore, if you follow what we're saying, we're seeing that stress, depression, these things are a choice. You make a choice to be stressful. And this flows from the first point in this way, that to be in control is going to lead, as we're going to see, to stress and anxiety and depression, because everything isn't going to work the way you want it to work. And so we come to the point now, point two, thoughts precede stress, anxiety, and depression. So people think that there's something automatic about depression and it can't be helped. No, we cause depression on ourselves. We rest. We make a choice to have anxiety in our lives. Now, we spent a long time on that one, and you just have to re-listen to the tape or something, but let's go to point three. The life free of stress, anxiety, and depression, or sad, the life liberated from sad, begins by thinking who you are in Jesus Christ. So, being free of stress, anxiety, and depression or sad begins with thinking, because we're seeing how thinking precedes our stress, and being free of it begins with the thinking, how we think, and think are in Jesus Christ. And we'll see if we'll put all that together as we go along. But you have an experience in life, the first thing that happens is a thought. That's the first thing that happens. And the flesh nature We saw that its immediate thought is vulnerable, it's a victim, things like that. Or you could have experience and the first thought be God is in control and deal and think in the terms of God's love. And we spend some time on that. That brings us to point four. So let's take a look now tonight at point four. Point four. Stress, anxiety, and depression are futile attempts to take control of life. Stress, anxiety, and depression are futile attempts to take control of life. As much as that may not sound right to you, may not sound like it's proper thinking, but I'm going to show you how this works. And you will see then that stress, anxiety, and depression are attempts to take control of your life. Now, it works something like this. First, something happens in your life where you've lost control. Something happens in life. Work, a spouse, a lover, a friend, social life, somewhere in your life, church, somewhere in your life, something happens in your life where you lose control. It's out of your control. Whatever is going to happen or is happening, people aren't doing what you want, maybe something very simple, something big. Or I might even add for parentheses, or you think, or you anticipate something happening out of your control. But let's just say something happens that's out of your control. Now, second thing, in your flesh nature, insecure, vulnerable, fear, see, and you're losing control. It's out of your control. So as weird as this sounds, point three here, in order to regain control, you go into stress. You go into depression. You go into anxiety. As strange as that sounds, that's your way to go back and gain control. When the insecurity of the flesh nature leaves you vulnerable, leaves you with that insecurity, helpless, stress, anxiety, and depression are flesh nature tactics to gain back control. I'll give you an elementary example to show you what's happening. A child starts screaming. And every one of you parents have heard that, and every one of you that are not parents have heard that somewhere. This kid is just screaming. Goes into screams. Now, why? He's regaining control. Now, you look at the child and you say, you're out of control. But let's think what's happening. What is happening is something has happened to this child, and he's lost control. He doesn't know what to do. I'm going to just paint the whole picture. He doesn't know what to do with his hands. He doesn't know what to do with his fear. He doesn't know what to do about the circumstance. He can't think. So what he can do to regain control is start screaming, start crying, start throwing things. He's in control. And now you say, no, he's out of control. No, he's regained control because he's doing something where he's in control. And that's the concept that we're dealing with. He doesn't know what else to do. He's confused. He's maybe scared, insecure. So he's going to take control. He just screams. Well, as we grow, we soon learn that screaming is not acceptable. That just isn't going to work at school. It isn't going to work with our friends. But stress, anxiety, and depression are not only acceptable today, but people brag about it. And I'll show you that later as we go along. But this is what is going on. It's a futile attempt to regain control. You've lost control. You don't know what else to do. So you just go into stress and anxieties and depression to regain control that you have perceived that you have lost or indeed have lost. So we've not studied stress, anxiety, and depression as what they are, but let's see how this works now. There are one of two ways you can put yourself back into control. And I'm going to relate both of these to physical energy, mental energy. One, now both of these are going to get you back into control by the use of energy. This is getting back into control by anxiety. If you put forth a lot of energy and a lot of do, there's anxiety, it's accompanied with things like worry, fear, panic, a lot of what-ifing, what if this and what if that and what if, there's a lot of what-ifing. And that goes along at this point. Now, to show you the opposite of what is depression, depression, on the other hand, is a holding back of all the energy. It's a withdrawal. So people go into depression, they go into extreme withdrawal. And as we go through our study, we do illustrations of this, and I'm sure if you've done any study in depression, you know these things already, but what is happening? This is an attempt to regain control. One is by use of a lot of energy, what-ifing, and just charging in and doing stuff bad, or the other is to withdraw. Isolate yourself. Avoidance. Always tired. I don't care. So you've gone for, what if this and what if that and what if the money's not there and what if we can't pay our bill and what if this and what happens if you're not able to do this and what happens if we can't meet the mortgage and what happens if we can't do this? And there's a lot of what-ifing with anxiety. With depression, I don't care. I just don't care. It's out of my control. I just don't care anymore. That's a way of gaining control. You've lost control, so you're gaining control. So solution to the flesh problem is anxiety or depression in these two examples here. Instead of solving the problem. Instead of solving the problem, they only compound the problem. And that's what I want to show you. Stress and depression, anxiety, they compound the problem. They do not. They're a futile attempt to take control. You're not in control. And so they're actually going to cause more problems. The flesh cannot solve its own problems. It creates more problems. Any good decision maker knows this. You learn it in decision making 101 or leadership 101. If your solution causes more problems, it's not a good solution. Somebody says, well, we can do this. Well, it's just going to cause more problems. Well, that's not a good solution. So a lot of solutions made by a federal government, all it does is set up for more problems. A lot of solutions made by people to a problem creates more problems. And so you want to be able to say, that's not a good solution. That's not what we want to do because it's just creating more problems. Stress and depression, anxiety, in order to take control of that which you've lost control, is just going to create more problems. It is not going to solve the problem. Now, this is what happens when Christians get stressed and depression and anxiety. And they go to drugs. They're not solving the real problem because they are in denial that the real problem is spiritual. The real problem is spiritual. The same thing when they try to handle stress, anxiety, and depression, those things to take control. We deny, we're in denial. When we talk about the proper use of 1 John 1:9, we're in denial. My problem's not spiritual, my problem is physical, my problem is this, my problem is other people. And we deny that our problem is within ourselves a spiritual problem. So it's much easier. We're going to talk about blame. And I've been kind of working on some of the studies in blame and peanuts. I'm going to bring some peanuts cartoon. But Peppermint Patty makes the most absurd things for blaming. And her little friend Marcy says, well, you can't blame Charlie Brown for that. That doesn't make sense. And she says, yes, you can if you're unreasonable. And I'll show you this. So you don't have to be reasonable for blaming your parents, blaming your children, blaming your husband, blaming your wife, and all of these kinds of things that we do because we're denying that the problem is really within me. I'm not walking by faith in the Spirit. I'm not walking who I am in Jesus Christ. So again, this may not sound right at first, that stress and depression, anxiety, are attempts to regain control. But they are just like the child throwing the temper tantrum and screaming. He doesn't know what else to do. He's in fear. He's vulnerable. His insecurity is showing. His vulnerability is showing. So he has to do something. The same principle with stress, anxiety, and depression is tactics of the flesh nature to regain control of my life, of me. And it's a futile attempt. Use of anxiety, bullying others, this type of thing. And people like to bully each other when they use anxiety, control each other. And it helps brace you for a collision that you can't stop, so you just speed up for it. This is what a lot of people do in their marriages. Things are happening, you don't know what else to do, so you speed it up, the collision with your husband, with your wife, with other people, with circumstances, and it just builds the anxiety and the frustration in your soul, and you speed it up against the person in your marriage, a family. A bully, that is a husband, a wife, a parent, a teacher, a preacher, anybody that has to control everybody, all this type of thing, you're looking, whether you want to be in denial or admit it or whatever, a bully senses great vulnerability. That's why he's got to be in control of everybody. That's why he's got to straighten everybody out and have everybody do what he wants. It's a great sense of insecurity, vulnerability, exposure. So he just explodes. That puts him back into control. Puts others into fear and submission. He just explodes. I've been around a lot of people like this. They just explode. They just overbearing, and they put you into fear with their explosion because they're insecure, greatly vulnerable at that point. Depression puts you in control by just retreating from the situation where you're not in control anyway. And you're insecure, you're vulnerable, so to regain a control, you just retreat. You just withdraw. Go into your room, as it were. Just get away from things. Get away from everything and just pull away, and that puts you back into control in your mind. That's what you think is happening. So you take your vulnerability and you take all of these and you just retreat. You just withdraw. Now, very important. Does it matter? It does not matter whether we go to anxiety, full energy to resume this control and take care of the insecurity and the vulnerability, or depression, where you withdraw. Before God, it does not matter. Spiritually, it does not matter. Now, some men and women have been very successful throughout their life, always using, it's a habit, always using the anxiety of controlling everybody. Other people have always used depression to control the situation in their life. And it's a habit. Well, we're going to talk about breaking habits as we go through our study. But it doesn't matter before God. Just because you get everybody doing what you want and you got everybody doing what you want does not mean that that it makes it right before God, that that is the proper solution. So it doesn't matter to God which of these you use. The point is your flesh nature is in control. Whichever of those two ways you go, your flesh nature is in control. You are deceived. You're not walking by the Spirit, and you are deceived. You're under delusion. Okay, that brings us to point five. So let's see what we've got. We all have the nature of insecurity, our flesh nature, that we want to be in control. Then we saw that thoughts precede stress, anxiety, and depression. To live a life free of stress, anxiety, and depression, begin to think of who we are in Christ. Stress, anxiety, and depression, what we're looking at here, are futile attempts to take control, to regain control. Now, point five, very important point. Control is an illusion. control, and this is something that I will never be able to convince some, and neither will the Spirit of the God. Control is an illusion. Your flesh nature thinks that it's in control, thinks that control is there, but it is not. It is an illusion. God is in control. And I'll show you how Satan is in control. But control is an illusion. So we have every Christian continuing to have this flesh nature of insecurity. Thoughts precede the stress, anxiety, and depression. Life free of stress begins with thinking who you are in Christ. Stress, anxiety, and depression are futile attempts to take control. And point five, control is an illusion. This is another principle that may be hard to see, because people that are in control of their family and their wife or their husband or their children or their parents or their circumstances or work, they've got everybody at work fear and all of this type of thing. Well, what do you mean it's an illusion? I'm in control. I got everybody doing what I will. It may not sound correct, but many Christians are deceived into thinking that they are in control. There are many levels where this is so false. First of all, for example, remember that the flesh nature is insecure, which leads to vulnerability and fear. Flesh nature to be in control, and therefore thinking that it is secure in control. When we are insecure, we want to be secure. Being secure means we're in control. When we are vulnerable, we want to be in control. I'm not vulnerable. The more I control to it. So this is why it seems this way. It's an illusion. It's an illusion like a person that takes drugs or a person that takes drinks a lot, that gets drunk or stuff. It's an illusion. You're not doing better. The drugs have just numb your mind. That's all that's happening. You're not doing better. You have drugs that have numbed your mind. You're not walking in the Spirit. You're not just experiencing what God would have you to experience. So it's an illusion. And control is an illusion. So the flesh nature is insecure and therefore is vulnerable, fearful, and thinks it has to be in control. Now watch this. While being in control sounds like a good solution, it is destructive. And let me show you why it's destructive. The more you are in control, the more you have to control. The more you are in control, the more you have to control. And that is a very important principle in dealing with stress, anxiety, and depression. The more you are in control, the more you have to control. And I'll show you how this deals in a family situation all the way to the other end, meaning suicide. The more you're in control, the more you have to be in control. People, control, which is fundamental to the insecure nature. He just always has to control everything. She has to control everything. Why is that almost characteristic of everyone? Because it's part of our flesh nature that we've spent a lot of time on in the beginning. It's part of your flesh nature. It's insecure. It's an insecure nature. Once we took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and thought we would see everything, yeah, we saw everything. We saw how horrible we were. And so Adam and Eve go run and try to solve the problem. This goes all the way back to the beginning. Job, chapter 1. Oh, he saw it, and so he tried everything he could to be sure he was okay with God. None of them were right. The more you think you are in control, people, the more you're going to have to control. Therefore, let me show you. Control is like drugs. It's like sex. It's like money. A little does give some temporary satisfaction. A little bit of things may give a temporary satisfaction, but you soon find that you need more money, more drugs, more control. It's an illusion. It's an illusion. And I'm so sorry that so many Christians spend their whole life living in the illusion. They never enjoy life, and they never enjoy those that they are controlling because they're so fearful they're going to lose control. They won't let it go. in my notes. I'm sure you've all heard a story about what you have to do if someone, if you truly love, you got to let them go. It's like the bird. I think they use it with the bird. You let the bird go. But keeping it all locked up and in that cage and everything, that doesn't mean anything. Got to let it go. But I can't do that. I want to be in control. Why? So I've got to control my wife. I've got to control my husband. I've got to control my kids, control my family, control people at work, control circumstances, control these things. It's an illusion. You're not. You're losing your control. You're showing your vulnerability. You're revealing what's really going on. So in that sense, it's like drugs. It's like money. We could have it's never. You never get a. You just got to keep taking it. You got to have it. And it really ends up controlling you, not you, it. The insecurity of the flesh nature is insatiable. That's another way to put those big five things that we know, those five things about your flesh nature. Flesh nature is continually being corrupted all through your life. That's a reality. Don't be afraid to admit it. Don't deny it. It is incurably wounded. It is deceitful above all things. It is full of evil and it's insane. The whole idea that it can be in control is an illusion. So the insecurity of the flesh nature is insatiable. Because that's what it is. It's insatiable. It can never control enough. It can never control enough. The more you control, the more you seek to control. It's true of pastors, preachers, spiritual movements that go through life, religious movements through history. And once a church starts getting control, it's going to have more control and more control. It's whatever it may be. The Roman church, just for an example, has got to control your sex life, got to control your family, got to control everything. And a preacher's just got to, you can't listen to anybody else, you can't read anybody else, you've got to be here with me every time, all the time. Got to control you. I've got to control you. Insecurity. Insecure of what God is doing. Men and women do that to each other in marriages and in relationships. Got to control you. Where are you? What you doing? I've got to control everything about you because there's insecurity. And the more that I control, the more I think I'm secure. Like I said, there is a temporary relief there, but it just feeds that I need more control. And more control. More money, more money, more money. Never enough. Never enough control. I've got to control more. And the more that people give in to you and let you control them, the more you control. You would think, okay, I've got this now, I just let people do it. No, I got to stay in that control pattern to stay in control because my flesh nature needs that more. So the principle here is insecurity of the flesh nature is insatiable. It can never control enough. The more you control, the more you seek to control. Control the husband, control the wife, control the children. When I say lover, I don't mean like sexual lover. I mean just not married, romance. And you got to control at work. You got to control in your social life. You just got to control everywhere. It just everything you do, you've got to be in control. And we've used example when I was giving little tidbits about this study. And just some people got to control even where we eat. No, I know wherever we need. I know this. Always got to be in control. Well, all right, y'all just do whatever you want to do. Then I don't care because I'm losing control, so I'm going to withdraw. These strong people, they can go boom, or they can withdraw, whichever it is, or they can take those that they know they can control and just go off with them. I've seen that a lot, and so it just creates its own monster within itself. So it's just an insatiable desire to control. And that brings more stress, more anxiety, and more depression in your life to make you feel secure. Do you get it? There's never enough control to make you feel secure, not vulnerable, so that you're not stressed and you're not depressed and you're not have anxiety. You never get enough control to do away with those things. There's never enough to where you feel secure and not vulnerable. So you're now the one doomed. You're now doomed. People that have to be in control, if they never break out of it, they're doomed. They're doomed. They're never going to make it because it's insatiable. And so they're always going to be that tense anxiety or depression or back and forth, and they're not going to make it. A little control vanishes a little insecurity. So the need for more control over others or circumstances, over situations, over family, work, church, but then you need a little bit more. This is why you will discover that some of the most powerful people on earth are extremely insecure, though they would never admit it. Never admit. To admit it would do what? It would reveal vulnerability, insecurity. So they're not going to admit it. Some of the most powerful people on earth are extremely insecure. And with this insatiable need of more control, then comes the stress, the anxiety, depression in life. It's a permanent part of their life. Now, let me give you what's going on. Christians complain about stress, anxiety, and depression, but it is really a bragamony. It's a bragamony. I have so much stress in my life. You ever hear it? I have so much stress on my job. I have so much stress in my marriage. It's a bragamony. It's a badge. Got so much stress in my marriage with my husband and my wife, my children. Oh, I just live in a constant state of pressure and stress and anxiety and depression. They wear it like a badge of importance. I'm important. Why am I important? Because I've got so much stress. I've got so many people to control. I have so much to do. I'm always stressed. I'm always depressed. I'm always in anxiety. They wear it like a brag. It's a brag. It's how important I am. It's how I've got to do that all the time just to keep everybody in line. I've always got to be under anxiety and depression and stress. My job is tough. And you're making it worse, so just get in line. That'll calm it down a little bit. So it's a bragamony. On the other hand, let's go to depression. They wear it like a burden. My life is so stressful, so depressing. It's a burden. I suffer for Jesus. I suffer so much for the Lord. My marriage is so much stress. If you were married to my husband, my wife, it's so burdensome. I suffer for the Lord. I live a stressful life for Jesus. Please pray for me. It's a burden. It's a big burden. People, it's not a burden that the Lord, that you're doing for the Lord. The Lord can lift that burden instantly. He can lift it off. But Christians want to wear it because we don't want to live who we are in Christ. And it sounds so good to get people to think that you're in this horrible situation. Well, if I walk around who I am in Christ and therefore have inner peace and therefore have inner happiness, and therefore have love flowing from me, everybody's not going to know what a horrible life I live. Everybody's not going to know how bad things are. They're not going to pray for me. They're not going to realize being married. They're going to think being married to this gal or this man is a great deal. It's not. I think everybody ought to know I'm really suffering for Jesus. And my life is very depressed and stressful. So it's either worn like a bragamony. My life is so important. I'm so stressed all the time. It's so stressful keeping you all in line. It's so stressful to keep everything going and keep myself in control. That's what I have to do. It's a bragamony. It's a badge of importance. Or it's a burden. It's a burden. And I want us to find out in this study. You don't have to have that bragamony or that burden. But a lot of people will never give it up because they like having that. But the truth is, control is an illusion. The truth that we learn from Scripture is that you cannot control your life. God controls. God is in control. Being in control is an illusion. Just like Satan, being in control is an illusion. I think every one of you can sit there and rationalize and think with me. You know history. You know about the Bible. You know that Satan thinks that he's in control. But you know that that's an illusion. Every one of you, here and on tapes. Satan thinks he's in control and we smile. We know who's in control. We're studying Revelation. We know where it's all going to go, where it's going to end. So no, it's just, we laugh. But if you were to talk to this super creature, I'm in control. And that's the way Christians are. I'm in control. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're not in control any more than the super creature Satan's in control, but you think you are just like he thinks he is. It's an illusion. Satan is not in control. Never has been in control. Since he rebelled against God, he's never been in control. Even when he thinks he is. Like in the garden, or with Job, or with David, or with you. But he's not in control. He wasn't controlling Job. God was taking Job where God wanted to take Job. But Satan thinks he's in control. When he can get believers to do things and to sin or whatever he wants them to do, I'm in control. No, he's not, people. And you know that. I don't even have to go on beyond that point. You know he is not in control. Now, let's relate it to yourself. You're not in control. You think you are. It's an illusion, just like it's an illusion to Satan. Satan's control is an illusion to the supernatural creature. And you being in control of your life is an illusion of a lesser creature, mankind. But that's okay. What we're going to see is the truth will set you free. If we will think the truth, come and face the truth, it's going to set you free. Free, a life free of stress, anxiety, and depression in your life and in your soul, in your marriage, in your work. And when we can lift this burden and liberate you from the stress and depression, you're not going to need it as a bragamony. You're not going to need it as a how you're suffering for the Lord. You're going to turn and find some real happiness and some inner peace, regardless of the circumstances of your life. Now, since control of your life is an illusion, and I'm going to add an impossibility. It's an impossibility. What does God have in store for us? If being in control is an illusion, if being in control is an impossibility, then what does God have in store for me? People, what God has in store for us is what we've been studying all along. See who you are in Christ. Believe who you are in Christ. Live who you are in Christ. And where I'm going to end up, and I just got to drop the seed along the way all the time, because this, and the more you learn to abide in His love, John 15, the more you learn to abide in His love, in that environment of love, stress is going to find its way out of your life. Depression is not going to be there when we find ourselves abiding in His love. That's what God has in store. Go to point six. While insecurity is natural, and control is a habit, it's been said many times, but I just want to pick it up. Habits can be broken. Something my mother taught. Habits can be broken. Insecurity is natural. Control is a habit. And habits can be broken. This is the very heart of our study of liberating you from a life of stress, anxiety, and depression. If you walk in the natural flesh nature, habit of control, but that can be broken, that habit can be broken, how would you break it? Walk in who you are in Christ. Get into the thought process. First thing you think of when something happens, you think, God is in control. Who am I in Christ? What is God doing here? And you orient to who and what He is. So we're going to study breaking one habit and making a new habit. We're going to break the habit of being in control, and we're going to break the habit of the things that go along with being in control, stress, anxiety, and depression, and we're going to make a new habit of whenever something happens in our life, instantly thinking and going into our relationship with God in the spirit-filled life. Walking in the flesh, in the insecurity of the flesh, and developing all the techniques of dealing with our insecurities, our fears, like being in control, like depression, anxiety. These are all habits, people. They're just habits. You can control them. You've got a habit way of thinking. Thinking in the flesh is a habit. And what we're going to do is we're going to develop now the habit of walking in the Holy Spirit. And habits can be broken. Yes, they're hard to break. Yes, they are. Habit of smoking. A lot of habits are hard to break. But they can be broken. Any habit can be broken. And you and I walking in the flesh is a habit. Yeah, it's a habit we've had ever since our natural birth. So it's going to be a hard one. But it's a habit that can be broken. These are all habits. Thinking in the flesh is a habit. So we want to develop a new habit. We want to stop, we want to break one habit, stop one habit, and we're going to develop a new habit. I'm going to show you how. So walking in the flesh is just a habit. And people, what we want to do is walking in the Holy Spirit is a habit in your life. And it's going to have to become that. It is not natural to you to walk in who you are in Christ. So first we have to break an old habit of walking in the flesh and replace it with a new habit of walking in the Holy Spirit, the habit of living who you are in Christ. And you've got to want to do this in your soul. I want to be who I am in Christ. A lot of people, and I'm serious, nope, I'd rather stay depressed, anxiety, and stress, all these things, because it's my bragamony or it's my suffering for Jesus. Or we can make a decision. I'm just going to break that habit. I'm going to break it right now and start a new habit. We're born in the natural flesh. We're born insecure. But in our second birth, we're born to a new life. And we're going to develop a habit of living who we are in Christ. That brings us to point seven. Giving these points, because these points really are going to carry us nearly all the way through our study. This point seven? Yeah, okay. Walking by faith in the Holy Spirit is a choice. Walking by faith in the Holy Spirit is a choice. Living who you are in Jesus Christ is a choice. Stress, anxiety, depression, a choice. Living in the flesh, choice. And you make it throughout the day. But a life free of stress, anxiety, and depression or sad is also a choice. Living in the power of the Holy Spirit is a choice. Living who you are in Jesus Christ is a choice. People, this is a liberating study. It's a wonderful study. We're not going to get, there's no secrets here. It's just very simple. Yeah, let's go back to some of our examples. You get the phone call that your child has died out on the highway at night. I don't know why I use that one, but it just seems to communicate. So you pick up the phone, you hear that, and if you're in the flesh, you immediately want to blame. Why did you let him have the car? Or you fall apart, you go into to depression, or you go into anxiety and start happening. Or you can make the decision when you hear immediately, God, in the Spirit. I want whatever God has in store for me today. I got to think in that realm. I want to put my faith in the Spirit. Before you even hang the phone up, you're in the power of the Holy Spirit. You've made a choice. Now you're not blaming. The first word out of your mouth is, it's all your fault you gave him the key. It's all your fault you did this and that. Before you even hang up, you're not going to fall apart. Before you even hang up, because you have made a decision, I'm going to be who I am in Christ. God's in control here. If they're dead, they're in heaven. And while it hurts and all those things, what happens to you is not stress, anxiety, and depression. What happens to you is who you are in Christ. So walking in the by faith in the Holy Spirit is a choice. Living who you are in Christ is a choice. Stress, anxiety, and depression is a choice. You get to make the choice. Now, yes, the flesh nature does jump right in there. Flesh nature convinces you of other things. It's fighting for control. It's fighting for control, people. It's going to be right there on different things to tell you under Satan's lie, you're not worthy, you're a sinner, you can't succeed, all of this types of things. The flesh is going to jump right in there and try to take control. But you have a choice. You can continue to listen to the flesh, or you can stop listening to the flesh. It's your choice. And that's all it is. It is, let's not praise this choice. This is not a hard choice. I'm going to walk by faith. I'm going to live in the natural flesh. Once you decide to live in the natural flesh, the flesh takes over. Once you decide to walk in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit takes over. So, it's that simple. This is a choice, as we're going to see. Now just remember, your flesh nature is always right there, ready to jump in. But you have a choice. You can continue the thought pattern of the flesh. I'm going to fail, I'm no good, I'm ugly, this type of thing we're going to look at. Or, you can attack the flesh self, crucify it as it's crucified at the cross, bury it, and resurrect your new life. Taking off of our study in Romans. Being who you are in Christ. So you can crucify that old self, bury it, because it is crucified, it is buried, it is dead. And at that moment, resurrect who you are in Christ. It's up to you. Your thinking is up to you. It is nobody else's fault. It is no one's fault what you think. If you are married in a difficult situation or environment in work or life and you want to blame them and you want to blame other people, no, you can't. I'm sorry. You have made the choice to be depressed. You have made the choice to be sad. You have made the choice to give them control one way or another. But it's up to you. You can stop that thinking. You can listen. Say, no, I don't want to think that way. Well, I'm going to show you how we develop a new habit as we go along. But just to give you an idea, it's like if you can envision sitting in front of your TV with the change control thing in your hand, the remote control. And so you flip on a show. You don't like it. Whatever the show may be, you don't like it. It's not what you like. What do you immediately do? You click. There's a woman, and she turns it on, and it's a big basketball game, and she doesn't care one bit about basketball. What does she merely do? Click it. She goes to another channel. And we just keep clicking until we get one. That's what we're going to learn to do with our soul. I don't like that thought. I don't like what I hear myself saying, what I hear myself thinking. We're going to learn how to listen to ourselves. That doesn't sound like love. That is not the words of love, the sound of love. I'm going to click that off. I'm clicking on who I am in Christ. We'll see how to do all of this as we go through. But it is up to you. So this is a liberating concept, like Paul learned, who's going to set me free. And it's a liberating thing if we will not deny but confess all these things, acknowledge all these things about stress, anxiety, and depression, that it is a choice, and that I do have a choice not to be. It's a very liberating thing. You can choose not to listen to the flesh. You can choose not to listen to the desires of the flesh and live who you are in Christ and the Spirit take over. You can say, I choose not to listen to my flesh nature. I choose not to listen to that program. I choose not to be ruled by the flesh. I choose to be ruled by the Holy Spirit. I choose to walk in God's love. And we'll learn how to listen to ourselves, how to change to a new channel, how to listen to ourselves and stop thinking. How to listen to ourselves and then stop listening to ourselves. See, if you turn on the TV, you've got to listen for a second, and then boom, and we're going to stop listening to that flesh self. And we're going to click over to the new self that we are in Christ that quickly. So we're going to learn to listen, and we're going to learn to change the channels, if you please, into who we are in Christ. It's that simple. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the God that you are. You look down, Heavenly Father, in our flesh nature, and out of your love, you just set up reality, who we really are in Christ. And you give us the power Galatians chapter 3, working power of the Holy Spirit in us. You've given us everything. It's a sobering concept, not a bad one, when we realize, I choose to be depressed. Wow. I choose to have anxiety and stress and depression. It's a good thing for us to come to realize. That means I can choose not to. That means I can choose to be who I am in Christ. Father, we praise you in your Son's precious name. Amen.